It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as it is Masters Week. Always a special week for golf fans and sports fans in general, and this looks to be shaping up as one of the better ones going in that we've seen in a long time, with a lot of the top players playing very well and the return of one Tiger Woods to some pretty darn good form here coming back from his back injury. So we'll talk about that a little later in the show. A quick shout out to Chance Coyle, who got named to the Indiana State All-Stars team, the Seniors All-Stars team. Last year he was on the south portion of the Juniors team, but this year he made the 13-man squad, and still waiting to find out who Mr. Basketball is, although everyone seems to think that'll be Romeo, maybe. But there are six finalists, so we'll give them all a little credit it's been announced.
We have a better chance of picking Mr. Basketball than we do the Masters winner. Let's put it that way.
Well, we're going to try both. And we're going to go with Romeo, though, I think, for the time being, for Mr. Basketball. But Chance Coyle, again, on the state all-star team, so congratulations to him after an excellent senior season with the South Panthers. But we start tonight with the game we gave to you on Monday night. We didn't put it on, but we certainly broadcast a lot of it all that night, Monday night. Villanova, your new national champions. That's twice in 3 years. Jay Wright and the Wildcats have won the national championship, this time over three seed Michigan, who had a great late season, certainly a great late season run, won the Big Ten tournament, having to start their run a day earlier than the top four seeds, so they had to win four games, and then winning five straight in the NCAAs to get to the final game, but in the end, just not able to handle Villanova, and surprisingly, I guess to a point, who exactly it was that gave the wind under the sails for Villanova, as Jalen Brunson and the other starters were struggling a bit. They put Dante DiVincenzo in, and the kid went absolutely nuts and did it at the exact perfect time. We can talk about Dante, and we will. I want to start, though, with the defense, because we talked about Michigan's defense, and I thought Michigan's defense early in this game and through about early in the second half was still very, very good and made it very hard on Villanova. But it turned to me when Villanova's defense really started dialing it in, because Michigan had 21 points in their first 9 minutes. They scored 41 in the last 31 minutes. Villanova's D started playing a different ball game at about that 11-minute mark left in the first half.
Well, and don't forget they started scoring the basketball as well. And when shots start going in and you stop the other team from scoring, that's how you close the first half on a 23-7 run. Michigan was up 21-14, and boom, what's the halftime score? 37-28. So mm-hmm. That's, I think my math is right on that, or somewhere in that vicinity.
23-7?
Yeah, yep. And that's what, and that's two things happened. Number one, Michigan was great for 10 minutes. I thought they played outstanding basketball.
Absolutely.
And if you noticed, they weren't settling for anything in those first two TV timeout breaks. The first TV timeout break didn't even come to the 14 and change mark, because mm-hmm. the game, there are no whistles in the game. Everybody's playing hard, good, solid basketball. And Michigan was just, if they didn't have a clear, wide open three, it was trying to get in the lane, trying to drive, trying to find the ball in the post. And they played well. And they ran out of gas? No. I think they were taken out of what they wanted to do. At least that's what John Beilein said after the game. We couldn't drive them. We couldn't get our sets rolling. We couldn't do anything, and it forced us to play a lot of one-on-one. And that's not the recipe for success for beating Villanova, unless that one-on-one causes you to get help, which they don't have to help on, because they defend all five positions. It doesn't afford open shots. You saw when Villanova quit over-helping and quit trapping and quit doing the mm-hmm. things they didn't need to do. That's where Michigan was getting all their easy baskets early. At least that's what I remember.
It looked like Michigan Loyola early in the game. I mean, it did. And I thought Villanova, I joked on Twitter that they were jogging a little bit. And I actually meant it. I didn't think they were full speed on defense. And like you said, I think they were over-committing. They were going for the double teams a little quick, like
Forgot
Loyola did.
Forgot to do their job. And
got backdoored a few times.
Once Jay Wright finally got the ship straightened out. And don't forget, though, and I'm a believer in this, the kid starts hitting threes, all of a sudden it's a little easier to play defense.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden you see the ball go in, and the relief comes to you that, all right, we have another.
We can.
Well, we don't, the pressure's not on us every time down to get a stop, because mm-hmm. now we're starting to make some shots. And DiVincenzo was incredible. He had 18 points and a half. If you'd done that for the game, you would have taken it and not even thought twice about it. But when Michigan went in their drought, they couldn't stop Villanova. And it was, the reason was twofold. And you saw this in the Kansas game as well. Villanova is supremely talented. Mm-hmm. They might not have, as we joked on Monday, there's only one McDonald's All-American in this game, one.
Yeah.
And that didn't take away anything from how these kids played. When the shots started going in, remember, I think Villanova hit only, what, four of 15 threes in the first half, but they hit three out of four in a four-possession span that took that lead up to, what, 37 to 28 or whatever it was. It was late in the half. It felt like DiVincenzo goes crazy and starts knocking down shot after shot after shot. And Villanova at one point was 1 for 7 from three, and that's at the 7:32 mm-hmm. TV timeout. So they weren't shooting the basketball very well.
Yeah.
And they found a way through their defense to stay within touching distance and stay within touching distance. And they knew. They averaged 90 points a game.
Yeah.
They knew their offense was going to get going at some point. And sometimes you find your offense through defense, and that's what it was. All of a sudden, Michigan's a little careless with the ball here and there. All of a sudden, Michigan's not taking the proper shots they want. And when Villanova, even when they missed some of those threes, crashed the glass, just like you saw against Kansas, extra possessions, mm-hmm. which are a little deflating as well. You know, you take a team down to four on the shot clock, force a tough shot, they get the rebound and get you an easy basket. You did all that hard work for nothing.
A Villanova team that's athletic but not super long. I mean, they really hit the boards on this Michigan team.
They're long in the sense that they're not tall. They're long in the sense that they're quick and everybody's athletic, 6 foot yep. six and bigger. Yep. And that's a recipe for victory. And, boy, did they earn their stripes. They earned everything that night because it wasn't, quote-unquote, given to them. Michigan didn't shoot a 3 of 32 or something ridiculous where
they did from three.
Well, they did from three, and a lot of that was
and we knew they needed to be better than that from three because that's one thing where they've been able to get hot in certain games, and the Texas A&M game was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, and Abdur Rahman got hot when it didn't perhaps matter as right. much as it did before, and that's when they started knocking down some shots. But you saw Wagner carry the team in this day and age in a game with an opponent like Villanova, you better have some wing players that can get up and down the court and put the ball in the basket. Villanova won comfortably, and Jalen Brunson played, what, 9 minutes in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, he had foul trouble,
and that was one of the keys, I thought, which would help Michigan on Monday would be driving at them, getting them into some foul trouble. Mm-hmm. And they did, and they brought in a guy that scored 31 points off the bench.
Yeah,
I mean, so, I mean, you the best laid plans, you've got to go out there and play the game so that a little bit of foul trouble brings DiVincenzo in, and all of a sudden he starts knocking down shots from every parking lot around the stadium. And there you go, and Villanova runs away and does it. They put a huge run on them, and Michigan really didn't have any answers. And I think that's where Michigan got hurt a little bit. Once Villanova decided they weren't going to get in bad matchups anymore, you saw a lot of drives early in that game where the matchup wasn't perhaps the best. They had mm-hmm. wrong switches or guys in wrong yeah. spots. Then they quit that, and all of a sudden every drive's contested, and all of a sudden there's not a second shot because you got the wrong guy rebounding and the wrong guy defending. Mm-hmm. And they just went and went and went. We talked on Monday about how they'd only lost four times. And to beat yeah. them, you needed 101, 89, 83, 77, or whatever it was. Yeah. And Michigan just wasn't on that pace after the first 3 or 4 minutes in that game.
No, we knew the
80s. They don't have enough guys to score.
We knew the 80s wasn't going to work for Michigan, and we knew the 70s, you know, it'd have to be the very low 70s. And Michigan at the end of the day, not able to shoot very well, 62 points at the end of the day. You know, I thought Villanova's defense, again, I thought that last 31 minutes, I thought it was really a different group. It's easy to look at the box score. It's easy even to have watched the game and think, holy crap, without Dante DiVincenzo going nuts, Villanova's lucky to be in this game. But I don't think that's fair. On the other side of that, that kid had an amazing game, and he entered it that way. It's not as though, you know, this wasn't all late, just adding up free throws at the end of the game.
All.
He walked
if
in
anything,
the door 18 at half.
It wasn't late.
You know, there was a defensive change, in my opinion, but there was also, as you mentioned, there was DiVincenzo started making plays, not just shots. There were shots, but there were also plays. He had two blocks. He was going to the basket with it. He wasn't just shooting from outside. So the kid made plays all over the place and gave them a shot of energy.
But the shot of energy came holding Michigan to 7 points the final 9 minutes of the first half. Mm-hmm. If you do that, momentum's going to swing. They didn't even have to play great offensively to do that. They would have been tied or right around the lead if they continued it. But a team that scores 90 points is always going to find a way to score 90 points. It seems like it was close, what, 79? They called the dogs off with 6 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Did the same thing against Kansas. They just pulled the ball out and said, we'll dribble around. Yeah. And when we're open, we'll knock down some more threes. And,
right.
And it doesn't matter. And that's what they did.
About it.
And they had when they get – their bench is thin. They don't rely on a lot of it. But when one guy comes off of it and gets you 31, what was Michigan's bench? 8 points? Not even that?
One good. Seven.
Yeah. And right there, it's the old joke. If you can't stop them from scoring and you can't score, you have a big, big issue. And what was Michigan's Achilles heel? Shooting the three. What did they finish from 3-point
line? 3 of 23.
Yeah, and Wagner hit two of them, yes? I know it hit
Wagner hit one.
One, okay.
Yeah, Rockman hit one.
Hit the other, okay. And those two, I think, by Rockman were to take 22-point leads
late
to 19.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was gone. But if you don't have guys that can put the ball in the basket, you can get to this level. You can get deep, as John Beilein has shown you. But when your stuff breaks down because the other team's a little bit better and you don't have the individual players to bail you out of the hole, sometimes just flat-out offense beats defense. I think the days of – and this was floating around the Twitterverse during the game. The days of defense winning championships, I think, still exist because, as you mentioned accurately, Villanova played really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they were absent of defense and just ran you off the floor.
Yeah.
But you were asking me
you
this.
You got to be balanced. I mean, that's the key. You have to be balanced.
I think you were asking me this on Monday during the show. This is from Las Vegas, the guys I used to work with doing some golf stuff for. Villanova will finish the season the second highest power-rated team ever.
Wow.
Only the 2009 North Carolina team, we joked with seven NBA guys and 12 pros overall, was rated higher. Well, that team couldn't stop scoring. That was a team. They played Ford Field in Detroit against Michigan State and won like 92-65. They just destroyed them because they couldn't stop or keep up with them.
Mm-hmm.
So to the victor go the spoils is the phrase, but it's absolutely true. This team was good defensively. This team was good offensively. They were sound with the basketball, and you saw only the teams that beat them during the season had, I don't want to say career night shooting, but Butler was 16 to 22 from three.
Let me ask you a question.
That's unbelievable. They shot that well against that team.
We've talked a lot the last couple of years, you know, thinking about this, the Indiana teams we've watched, and whether it's turnovers or quick threes being the equivalent of a turnover.
Not knowing down and distance, right. Time and space, whatever you want to call it.
Villanova didn't care. Villanova didn't care in the same way that we've bemoaned certain shots. I'm not going to go too far down that pole. But
right.
But it's interesting to me that Villanova, what was so great about watching them in this tournament is that they did not care either. They just made them. Now, better, worse. I mean, you can go into a number of different arguments, but do you have to be an unconscious shooting team nowadays to win at this level? Do you have to be of the point where you have that utmost confidence and you're not concerned about whether it's too quick?
No, I think you have to take it one more level. I think you have to have the players to be able to make those shots.
No, they only had 12 turnovers, so it's not like they threw it all over the place.
No, they did not.
But they did take quick shots all night
they
long
did.
For two games in the final four, both games. They just made a lot of them.
You're the math guy.
Yes, I am.
The average is a sum of figures taken over a span of time, which
uh-huh.
you do most of the time, correct?
Yes.
So them scoring 90 points and being the highest scoring team in the tournament suggests they have players that constantly make shots.
Right.
That's different than, hey, man, you're 3 of 18 this season. Maybe you shouldn't
well,
shoot seven
people,
of them
sure.
tonight. Well,
sure.
But I think
sure.
that's the point. You didn't see Jay Wright hauling guys off and saying, hey, that's a bad shot here.
Right.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there's three other guys that crash because mm-hmm. they think of it as an opportunity if a miss happens, not
right.
a bad shot.
Yeah.
So when you have guys, and they got lots of guys, about six
they
really,
do.
Really good ones.
They do.
But they're not deep. That would be the only thing you could point at them and say, wow, they're
six deep.
They're not,
I mean,
that's
one kid
it.
Played 16 minutes because Brunson got in trouble.
Yeah. And that's not a team that's coming at – they're playing all 35 minutes.
Yeah.
They're in great shape.
Yeah.
They can all shoot it. They
and,
shot
– And think of how –
I got one more for
think
you.
Of how much defense they have to play if they're shooting in the first 8 seconds of the shot clock every time down.
Villanova is the
not that
only –
they do every time. But.
And these stats always jump off the page, and that's why I try to write them down. They're the only team in the Big East in the last 20 seasons to shoot 50 from the field and 40 from three.
Wow.
You know what the other one was? Team that won 2 years ago.
Yeah, I believe it.
Well, I think that's what it
that's
was.
Place. I mean,
but that's what this that's what they do. Mm-hmm. That's their core thing. They're not looking to shoot threes to get them out of problems. That's their offense.
Yeah.
You even saw with 5 minutes to go, they cross. They're up 18. Cross it over.
Yeah.
First guy in the corner is wide open. It's going
takes
up.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
And no, if he misses,
I'm messing around.
It's aggressive. They've got long, athletic guys that tip the ball, keep the ball alive, grab offensive rebounds, and maybe that's the way the game's going. Because the point is, these are not the 3rd, 6th, 8th, and 14th best recruits in the country.
Right.
They have found a guys that fit their system, that are all jumping jacks, that can all shoot 40% as a team. People wanted to put a banner up at Purdue for that this year.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop talking about how unbelievable that was.
That's right.
So Villanova finds guys that fit Jay Wright's system without having to go to fight Kentucky on every prospect or fight Duke on every prospect. And their system is find guys that can shoot it, find guys that can defend it. Yeah, well, I mean, that sounds so simple. But when you execute it at this high of a level, go look up their record the last 3 years. I mean, it's unbelievably good. I think they have eight or nine losses in the two championship years.
They have
– some. There were some kind of stat.
13 total losses.
And five of those are to Butler. That's because David Woods from the Indy Star tweeted that, and I almost fell out of my chair when I read that. I was like, I know they had pretty good success against them, but
they had 16 losses the last four seasons.
That's insane.
And 21 losses the last five seasons.
I mean, that's a program.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Well, let's talk about that for a second.
And maybe we don't watch Villanova enough. I know I don't. I'll catch them every now and again, but during basketball season, I'm kind of focused on what Indiana's doing. That's my pride and my fun, and that's my hobby. But when you just see the numbers they throw at you night after night, and you're watching the ticker, and it's Tuesday night, and they're playing, I don't know, they're playing
Creighton
in Philadelphia, and it's 94-68.
Yeah.
And you're just like, geez, they're good.
Yeah.
And then you see them the next time it's 89-70, and then they get a close one and maybe lose one. Only time you pay attention to Villanova is what? When they lose.
Yeah.
That's it.
Let's talk about Villanova with Jay Wright. Jay Wright's been there for a long time now. His first season was the 01-02 season. Villanova's not a team that over the years has been a dynasty type of team. Rolly Massimino had some excellent seasons, and obviously a surprise, a national championship over Georgetown.
Shot 78% in that game.
Oof. We just mentioned that's 21 losses in five seasons, two national championships. Now, a couple of them, you know, the other three, they were out early.
Yeah.
And those other three, they were first in their conference, by the way. They were first in 4 years. They were second in their conference this year.
That happens.
Is Villanova at one of these blue blood type levels yet? Or do they have to have more consistency? 2 and 3 years is consistency, but it's a small group. It's a small thing.
It is.
It's Florida. Florida had the back-to-back.
Yes.
Okay, it's that
thing. No. Go look Florida up because you're not wrong, but you're not right.
Well, they had back-to-back national championships.
They went back-to-back national championships, and Billy Donovan made like five straight elite eights.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. No,
so that's right. That's
but it wasn't 12.
That's a big number.
It wasn't 12 years. It wasn't 20 years.
No.
And that's
why
I'm saying when you talk about Blue Bloods, talk about Duke, they're in one spot. Carolina's even longer. Kansas, you're talking about one of those. Does Villanova get up in that conversation?
I think you get up in that conversation because of what you've done. You stay in that conversation of what you're going to do. Connecticut won two titles with Jim Calhoun in the teens, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Jim Calhoun. I'm sorry. He won the first
one. He won three.
He won the first one. He left. Ollie wins 2 years later.
Yes.
Okay. Since that, Connecticut has been
gone
terrible.
And they just fired him.
And they've been bad.
Yeah.
Now, they've had conference issues where they've jumped. Yeah. They got the Big East said, get out of here. We're not doing this anymore.
Right.
And then they went here for a minute, went there. They're in the American Athletic right now or whatever
that's
called.
Yeah, because of football stuff. And yeah.
Well, but that's the point.
Right.
But if you're a blue blood, you do it for an extended period of time. I think that's part of it. And the other part is you got to have the guy. Would we be talking about Michigan State if Tom Izzo wasn't that guy? I don't know.
Right.
Because that's part of it. The guy that gets them to that part.
Jay Wright's been there. This is 18 years.
But that's it. And Izzo started there in when? 96, 97?
Yeah,
something
sounds
like
right,
that.
Yeah.
Won a title in
02 or
2000. That's the last Big Ten championship.
Yep.
Right. So are you a blue blood program for 4 or 5 years? No, you're not. Are you a blue blood program if you're winning your league for how many times in the last 5 years, you told me? Four?
Four straight. This year it was second.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas wins their league 14 times in a row.
Well,
they've
but
won
that's,
one title.
That's unheard of.
But that's the point. Unheard of in a major conference is that's just as unbelievable.
Right.
I think Jay Wright said it best. You got to be a little bit lucky to win some of these things. You can't.
Yeah.
There's 64 teams, and as we talked before the tournament started, there's 8 or 9 that you said, hey, these teams got a really good chance of winning the tournament.
Michigan was lucky to be this far, given perhaps the Houston game. Yep. I mean, the shot that they got,
they
was,
had to be,
that wasn't a layup to put them in.
No, it wasn't, but they rode their luck and made the best of it. Mm-hmm. And Villanova won every game by double digits, and that doesn't happen very often. Yeah. The Carolina team back in 2009 with all those studs did the same thing. That's the last time that's happened. I believe that stat was going around as well. But that's the point. Villanova's harder to buy because they don't have 7 draft picks coming up. That's the issue. The Carolina team has the mystique. They have obviously the big coach in Roy Williams. Well, not Jay Wright's in the big coach conversation.
Well, he has to be.
Well, Jim Calhoun is. He's got 3 of them. A lot of guys don't have one of them.
There aren't a lot of guys that have more than one. There aren't a lot of guys that have one, but there aren't a lot of guys that have more than one. It's even smaller.
And it's not a football school. It's a D2 football or whatever that is.
1AA.
1AA, FBS, whatever. Right. So you don't have that allure of everything else. And to go in there and get kids from wherever you get them from, does it matter anymore? If Jay Wright's doing this with all the kids from New York City,
not if you get them to play like this.
And that's the point. And what makes your program is winning. And when you win and win and consistently win, then you can throw around titles about where they belong. But when you have 2 national championships, let's start pointing some fingers around who's got 2 titles.
Yeah.
Calipari got 2 titles?
No.
He doesn't. He has 1. Right?
Tom Izzo has 1.
Bill Self has 1.
Bill Self has 1.
These are hard to win.
Yeah, they are.
We just rattled off about 2,000 wins.
Yeah.
And 3 titles. Calipari didn't win twice. He won with Anthony Davis in that group, right? I don't think Calipari's won 2 titles.
I thought he had 2. I'm going to look it up right now.
Please do. He got beat in the final four with Marcus Camby. That didn't exist. He got beat in the championship game with Derrick Rose. That didn't exist. He was beaten as 40-0 or 39-0 in a semifinal, right? Right.
He has one. 2012.
So you're talking about John Beilein's a great coach, has no titles.
Pitino has 2, but he only has credit for 1 right now.
Well, he has 2. He's won 2. He won with Kentucky in 1996. They beat Syracuse in that New Jersey.
Lost in 97. Tubby won in
overtime. In 97, that was Indianapolis, the first overtime game and final championship game history. Miles Simon was your tournament most outstanding player then.
Jay Wright has 2.
Jay Wright is 2 for 2, I believe. Yes? 2 Final Fours, 2 titles? Is that
2
right?
2 Final Fours, 2 titles. That's, no, he's been to 3 Final Fours.
What was his third one? Indianapolis?
2008-2009.
That was Florida. That's right. So, 2009 was North Carolina. Yes.
Yes.
That was in Ford Field.
That's correct.
So, Michigan, North Carolina, Villanova, and I can't remember the other team in that one. Usually I can rattle these off pretty quickly. But the point is,
I'll have it here in a minute.
Jay Wright got a taste of it, took his...
Connecticut was in that one.
Oh, Connecticut, all right.
Michigan State beat Connecticut.
And then Carolina beat Villanova.
Carolina beat Villanova.
But there you go.
89-72, North Carolina beat Michigan State. So yeah, Jay Wright has 2. Dean Smith has 2.
I mean, right there.
Phil Wolpert has 2. Branch McCracken here at Indiana has 2. Ed Jucker, Henry Iba, Billy Donovan, Denny Crum all have 2.
80-87 for Denny Crum.
Let's not forget this started in the 40s. Not,
yeah, the first titles,
not
yeah
in the beginning of the previous century.
Wisconsin won or Oregon won the first one.
Roy, Bob Knight, and Jim Calhoun all have 3. Adolph Rupp has 4. Mike Krzyzewski has 5. And John Wooden, 10.
There you go. So you're it's in some high clover. High clover.
Yeah.
And there's some really good coaches that never made a Final Four. John Chaney at Temple, Philadelphia, Angle, never made the Final Four. So to do what they're doing at a school that doesn't have football revenue to come in and pay for all of the bells and whistles and everything else that goes with it, they get all the plaudits they deserve for that. And Jay Wright should as well. And being there that long, you know there were times when they were probably frustrated and probably right after 08 in the Final Four, hey,
yeah,
come on, let's go, let's get after it. And guess what? They got after it, and they've been getting after it, and they will continue to get after it.
The major sports, football, basketball, we know about Alabama and their run, and the SEC, and there are other runs that are involved in there, and you know, the Ohio States and the Floridas and all those other teams, the teams with the big money, the big names. Basketball is no different. Find the outlier here. Jay Wright, Roy Williams, Jay Wright, Mike Krzyzewski, Kevin Ollie, Rick Pitino, John Calipari, Jim Calhoun, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Bill Self, Billy Donovan, Roy Williams, Jim Calhoun, Jim Boeheim, Gary Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Tom Izzo, Jim Calhoun. Those are your last 20 years worth of national
champions.
And Kevin
Ollie did it with all Jim Calhoun's players.
One coach there that doesn't fit.
That's it.
But the program did. So you got to be one of those guys to win it.
That helps as well when your cupboard is not left bare.
We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. We got some Masters talk starting tomorrow morning. All right, it's that time of year. Doesn't look like way outside, but maybe it will soon. It does there. Everything's in bloom. We'll talk about it in a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. Back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Are you considering a new quote on your home and auto? Well, let Skip Daly with Weathervane Insurance help you shop dozens of carriers. Find Skip Daly and Weathervane Insurance, Bloomington Insurance. That's not right. It's insurancebloomington.com. I'm going out on a limb here. You know what? I'm going to type it into the Google-ometer because when I read that before, it was not that. I want to make sure our new sponsor gets taken care of as he should.
Absolutely.
InsuranceBloomington.com. Well, whatever's left of my brain after the last 11 and a half months, football season, basketball season.
Remembered that much.
Well, we want to take care of our sponsors, and we thank Weathervane for being on board with us. Over to you, Dave Novak.
812-333-2665 is our phone number. The programming notes for you. We've got the Reds baseball on the next three nights. Not tonight, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It is baseball season.
And that's brought to you by Royal South Toyota. I know that for sure.
There you go. 7 o'clock is the first pitch the next three nights. Again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we take Sunday off. We come back to you Monday, and we'll have the Reds that night at 7 o'clock also. They are in Pittsburgh this week and Philly at the beginning of next week. So all kinds of Reds baseball. You can check us out at WGCLradio.com. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. So basketball season is over. Football season is a few months away, but it's golf season. It's baseball season. And the Reds didn't exactly start off the way you'd like them to, but it was a long season. But you get to start the golf season this week officially as the Masters, the par 3 contest today. Practice rounds, everything going on in the world of golf already. This is the greatest week of the year for all of that.
The confluence.
And it feels, you know, the Masters always feels special. But this year feels really special because you've got so many guys. We've talked about this in the last 2 years. The guys that are coming up, both in the in that mid-30s range that have been around for a few years and starting to win, young guys that are starting to win and do so frequently, and all of these guys are guys that have been winning in the exact recent past here. I've got the world golf ranking here.
The OWGR.
Of the top five guys currently. And, of course, if you win, you're going to make your way up here. But these are not unknown names in the top five. There have been five wins. The only one that hasn't won in the top five is Jordan Spieth. He's only won two Masters.
It's a two-year rolling cycle. And your worst events drop off as you pick up more events. And it just keeps it as a constant number. So you're right. Ian Poulter moved from 51 to 29 after winning last week
at
Shell.
And we take Ian out because he hasn't been one of those guys we've talked about. But a guy like Rory McIlroy, who's got four majors and hasn't been playing great golf as of recently, he just won not that long ago.
He sure did for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, now you look at that and you go, oh, heck, it was Bay Hill that he won
at?
So, I mean, here's a big tournament that he finally kind of broke back into. Not that he was always gone, but, you know, he fell off the radar a little bit. And you're talking about Jon Rahm and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas.
Why were you talking about those other guys?
Because they're winning.
They're winning golf tournaments.
Yeah.
And that's how you get it. Golf's a wonderful meritocracy because you are.
Jason Day won again.
Yeah.
And Ricky Fowler won.
That's how you get back into these conversations. Mm-hmm. You win golf tournaments.
Phil won for the first time in 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Bubba won twice.
Keep going. I mean, it goes. Paul Casey won for the first time since 2009
about
on
ever.
Tour. Yeah. Ian Poulter won for the first time since 2012. Mm-hmm. So these are guys have all been around the block. These are guys, a lot of them have multiple Masters experience. A lot of guys that are playing well. Dustin Johnson has not fallen down the stairs yet. He won three times before this event last year and got hurt on Wednesday. So
he was the only talk before that tournament last year. I mean,
because
how great
he
was at that moment.
Well, exactly. You have to remember the golf tournaments he won. He won Riviera, which is a really good field. Then he won two World Golf Championships, which is the top 64 players in the world. If you're winning those, there is not. This is not a knock on the Bay Hill. It's not a knock on Valspar. But when you win a World Golf Championship, that's there's no dodging fields there. You're playing the best guys. Now, a handful of them don't play match play, and a handful of them didn't go to Mexico.
Right.
I get that.
Most do.
But if there's 50 of the top 55, that's pretty good, and that's exactly what these guys will face this week. 49 of the top 50 are there. 9 of the top 10, the only player that is out is Brooks Koepka. He's had a wrist problem that has bothered him earlier in the year. He announced a couple weeks ago he's not going to be back. Now he's looking at the U.S. Open. So you have all of the heavy hitters. If you are in the top 50 in the world, this is what you play for. This is why you want to be in the top 50 in the world, so you can get into all these great events we've talked about. And if you're a winner recently, obviously that puts you in that position. Ian Poulter needed to get deep into the match play. He didn't get deep enough. Then he goes out. He had to win last week. That's you talk about pressure.
Yeah.
He could have gotten second alone in Houston and not gotten into the Masters. He won. He had to win the tournament, made a 20-footer on the last hole, and he got in. So you throw in a guy like that on top of all of this, and then you have other fringe guys that maybe that aren't playing that well but play well here. And you're right. It could be on paper, and probably is on paper, the most anticipated because of two words. Tiger Woods is here, and everybody is healthy. So it's one guy and two words, and that's the great news. And the performance, only one guy can win. That's what's crazy. And the other crazy thing is we've done enough golf and watched enough golf. Every major tournament, there are three or four of the guys you just mentioned that lay absolute eggs for reasons unknown to man, other than they're human beings dealing with human being stuff. And that's part of the story moving forward. So we're gonna sit here on Monday and say, can you believe X shot a million and was knocked out and wasn't even close? But it's fun because you have all of these angles. Rory McIlroy, career Grand Slam. Tiger Woods, can he win? He's played really well, but he hasn't won yet.
But what
Phil's back.
What makes it such a big conversation, though, is how many of these great players have all been playing well recently. I mean, the only guy that you've listed, I think, out of there that hasn't won recently is Tiger, because he's coming off of back surgery, and he's been playing really well when he has been playing.
But the one thing you need to remember at the Masters is there is about one exception to the rule, maybe two. Jordan Spieth is one of them. Usually guys that don't play a lot here don't win here. You have to have guys that have been around the block a little bit. The average winning age is around 34. Sergio took him 19 times to win. Yep. Finally, Marco Mira took 15 times to win. But Charles Schwartzel took three, and Spieth took two. And there's always – Tiger was three. Bubba was three. There's always exceptions to rules. And with this young crew coming through – we haven't even talked about Justin Thomas and his two wins.
Yeah.
I think his last three starts are first, second, fifth. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You can just throw all these guys out, but only one of them can win it. And that's what makes it fun to try and find your needle in a very, very rich haystack.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes it great, is because you have so many options. You know, we've come into this in the past and said you got maybe a handful of guys that have got a chance. And outside of Tiger Woods, you've talked about everyone else on the tournament as being guys that are they playing well or are they not playing well. But Tiger was obviously always the exception. He's always playing well, and he's always going to be playing well in majors. And if he doesn't, it's an enormous story.
That's
it's almost
news.
Bigger than the major. But he's back now and not really – I mean, nobody really expected him to be playing as well as he is this quickly. And yet here he is playing this well this quickly and had a chance to win already in what, five starts? I mean, that's incredible coming off the back surgery that he is. Obviously, 14 majors before here in particular – You know he's got a chance coming into this thing.
He wouldn't play if he didn't have a chance.
Yeah. I mean,
so every time he tees it up, that's
he's playing
that's
great.
It.
Every part of his game looks good at doing it. And so you know all the eyes are on it because of Tiger, but you know you've also got one of the best top ends of the field that you've seen in a long time with everybody playing pretty damn well.
Yep, and that's why everybody tunes in and everybody watches, because you know the course, you're familiar with the course. That hasn't changed since it's been Tiger-proofed. It did some stuff in 2006, it added some stuff to holes. But it's always the same 18. It's always the tournament allegedly starts on the back nine on Sunday. That's been truer recently than it had been.
Yeah.
Last decade, that wasn't always the case. 22 of the last 27 winners, 21 of the last 27 winners, 22 of the last 28 winners have come from
that's
the final group.
Yeah,
but the six of those have been since 2007 that haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So you have ways to come in. And the one thing that's strange about the Masters is you look at guys that have wonderful history there. That have wonderful history there and have played great, Woods, Mickelson, et cetera. But then you look at Danny Willett, the Englishman who was playing great abroad, comes over to the States, knocks it around a little bit, shoots bogey-free 67, has one great round and wins the golf tournament.
Nobody heard of him until the back nine on the Sunday.
Well, no, over here, right. Charles Schwartzel in 2011 made four straight birdies to shoot 66 to win it. So you don't need always four great rounds. You need a really great round at the most opportune time. And a course that makes you think, a course that tests every club in your bag. It's a different style of U.S. Open test because it's the same course every year.
Yeah.
So guys know where to miss it. Mm-hmm. They know which lines to take. They usually stay out of some trouble. And then you have freaks of nature like Jordan Spieth, who was second, first, second, 11th. And if you take out one hole of his scorecard on Sundays, he could have three green jackets. It's unbelievable.
That's right.
But what makes it fun is all these guys have a chance. It's no longer, well, who's going to be second to Tiger?
Right.
Who's going to – because after even Tiger got hurt, you saw – we had a huge run of majors where it was first-time guys, where it wasn't Phil winning every other major championship. Winning majors is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And Spieth won three of them in 16 tries.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's almost Tiger-like.
And Rory was doing that for a little while until he got dropped off, got hurt,
got in some things, changed some clubs up, dropped his man, all those other things that go along with it. And McIlroy's going to get plenty of bright light this week because if he wins this week, it's the career Grand Slam. That's a big honking deal. Can you name the three guys that have won the career Grand Slam? There's three of them. That's it.
It's not Ulner Palmer.
No, it's not.
It's Tiger.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Jack.
Well, you start with those two, then you get.
Yeah.
There's one more.
It's not Gary Player.
It's not Phil Mickelson.
US
Open.
No, it's not Gary Player.
Three guys that have won it.
I'll come up with it.
Well, we'll go to the break, and then we'll put that to the test for you. How about that? We got to get one more break.
I've looked it up before. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those you'll hear it.
Is it Tom Watson?
Yeah. No.
No?
Tom Watson, I don't think, ever won the PGA.
I think that's right. All right, got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Well, more Masters talk when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. Back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming notes again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night here on WGCL. 7 o'clock, we've got Reds baseball. They are in Pittsburgh. They'll pick back up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Philadelphia, 7 o'clock. And, of course, we'll be with you next Monday and Wednesday as well. Talking Masters and just championships in general. So to follow through on our point, we were talking about career Grand Slams.
Five of them.
Five players. Gary Player was one of them, in addition to Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. The other two being Ben Hogan and Gene Sarazen. And they both were, Sarazen was in the 20s and 30s, Hogan the 40s and 50s. So a more modern era would be Player, Nicklaus, and Woods. So this tournament requires guys that can hit the heck out of the ball usually. This tournament requires players that are of a certain level. We mentioned a couple guys that maybe are, how'd he do it? You know, Danny Willett was playing well, but is he an all-time great? He's too young to be an all-time great. Is Angel Cabrera an all-time great?
No.
No.
Plus Garcewell.
Yeah, I mean, is Charles Schwartzel an all-time great? No.
No.
But if you look up and down the number, the names, there's a lot of all-time great types.
Zach Johnson's in that really, really good. Trevor Immelman perhaps is not.
Correct. But outside of the guys that we are kind of grouping towards the top, if you want to pick somebody that's not Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, somebody
those
like that.
Those are all your favorites.
I know, but is there anyone else down there that's hiding around like a Cabrera Bayo or somebody that people don't
not
have on the
year.
Top of their radar?
Not with the guys that we've just mentioned. That will be a wonderful upset.
This is a favorites year.
If somebody comes through this field with those guys.
With the way they're playing.
That would be unbelievable. Yeah. And you know what? When everybody gets all oiled up about how great it's going to be, guess what usually happens? Mm-hmm. Zach Johnson hits wedge on every par five and wins a golf
and the
tournament.
Wind starts blowing.
So would you rather be the house or would you rather be the general public right now? And I think you'd want to be the house right now because all these guys are good.
How realistic is Tiger winning the Masters this year?
Very. And the problem is twofold. Number one, his health is not an issue of any kind.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to worry about it. Number two, he's done this four times.
Yeah,
he knows how to win this golf tournament on this course. If there was any course you would pick him on, not even Bay Hill, because here's the thing, 87 guys in the Masters, 25 of them have no chance. He has to beat 50 guys,
right.
55 guys. Would you rather do that, or would you rather have a field of 156 at a U.S. Open? That, for me, is an easy, easy question to answer. It's a condensed field, his course. He's won it. He's healthy. Watch that driver, though.
Your favorite.
Watch that driver. Gun to my head, Jordan Spieth for the Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
That would break the internet. That would be the story. And to beat this field with him, he should drop the mic and go home.
And just be done.
be done.
I'm going to go with Rory McIlroy. I like that he's won here recently, coming off health issues for a long time. I really liked what I heard out of him on the press conference the other day, too. Very at peace with what's going on, where he is, all that sort of thing. Love listening to him talk. Love to see him win this tournament.
Just be a great tournament. That's all we ask. It should be.
Absolutely.
That's what's fun.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday at 6 o'clock, so tune in then. Remember, Reds baseball, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock as they are in Pittsburgh this week, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.